Running a restaurant has never been an easy business, but these last few years have been especially hard. FX's new TV drama, The Bear, goes a level deeper than the slim financial margins that can derail a restaurant. It calls out the abuse, dysfunctional leadership, toxic masculinity, and grief that affects the people making the food we eat. The show follows Carmi, played by Jeremy Allen White. He's a talented chef who's worked in some of the best fine dining restaurants in the world. But Carmi leaves that glitzy world behind, moving back to Chicago to take over his family's Italian beef sandwich shop. The show has been praised for its depiction of the behind-the-scenes chaos that goes on during service.
We're firing 76 beefs, 34 chickens, okay? 12 french fries, 12 mash, f***ing now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And that realism is dredging up memories for viewers in the restaurant industry. Bethany Jean Clement wrote about how local chefs are responding to the summer TV hit. She's a food and restaurant reporter for the Seattle Times. And just a heads up, we will be talking about elements of the plot of season one of The Bear, so there will be some limited spoilers in our conversation. Bethany, thanks for joining me.
Oh, hi, Libby. Happy to be here.
So TV networks and streaming services have figured out that a lot of viewers like shows about cooking. Reality shows especially seem to have drawn an even greater following since the start of the pandemic. I mean, there's The Great British Baking Show, Top Chef, Chopped. But now enter The Bear. What does this show bring to the table that makes it different?
It's a scripted series. And as a scripted series, it is highly dramatic. It presumes to give an inside look at how restaurants actually function or fail to function at both the fine dining level and the counter service sandwich shop level. And it hopes to show realistic relationships between characters and the many, many difficulties of being in the restaurant industry.
You published a piece in the Seattle Times about The Bear, and you talked to some local chefs about the show. What did those chefs tell you about their experience watching Carmi's story unfold?
Libby, the word triggering came up more than one time. It really had a huge impact on the chefs that I talked to. Many of them found a lot of it quite realistic, including the high level of drama, the shouting. There's so much shouting in this show. They're constantly screaming at each other. There's so much stress. There's the sort of top-down brigade system, old school style of running a fancier kitchen gets instituted. And people had strong reactions to having worked under that system themselves. Paolo Campbell of The Chicken Supply said, play this show for anyone who wants to get into this industry. Cooking shows always focus on the creativity in a competitive scenario. So non-industry people have this romanticized idea that all we do is push the envelope or come up with recipes on the fly. And he says, you know, you're making the same stuff over and over. And this show shows that in large part.
Yeah, making the same stuff over and over again and then sometimes getting yelled at because you didn't do it exactly the way somebody wanted you to do it.
Right, right. And the sort of hazing where someone hides the giant bin of onions you've just painstakingly chopped. And Logan Cox, who runs Homer and Milk Drunk here in Seattle, also used the word triggering and said, my eyelids started twitching and I was definitely having flashbacks. And he described when he opened his second restaurant on Beacon Hill, Milk Drunk, that he ended up sleeping in the bathroom because he knew if he went home, he wouldn't get back out of bed.
Oh, God. I mean, it's definitely not relaxing television when you're having flashbacks about your own experiences. The main character in The Bear, Carmi, embodies this kind of cool wunderkind personality or persona, but his mental health has also been affected by the years that he's worked under abusive bosses, and that in turn affects the way that he runs his own kitchen. What did the chefs you talked to have to say about the power dynamics that exist in kitchens and how chefs wield that power?
They had a lot to say about that as well. Tamara Murphy, who runs Terra Plata on Capitol Hill, talked about how she actually loved and thrived under that brigade system in some ways. She said, you know, it was like wearing a uniform. You didn't have to think about it because everything was so regimented. And she said, it was about discipline, but it was militant and often cruel. The cruel part needed to go. Some people did well with being berated. I usually let it roll off my shoulders. Great chefs came out of that style, and some wonderful cooks were broken too. And I also heard from people on social media who had left the restaurant industry because they just couldn't take it. And I absolutely empathize with that. I worked very briefly as a cook at the Roanoke Tavern on North Capitol Hill. I couldn't hack it. If I got more than two orders, I started freaking out, and it was not a high stress environment. And watching the show literally made my stomach hurt. I had my own stress reaction. It was very difficult for me. And I have endless respect for people in the industry who have made it through that kind of environment.
We also reached out to a couple local chefs and restaurant workers to get their take on the bear. And one of the chefs we spoke to, Jeff Reed with Bigfoot Longs, which is a hot dog pop-up, he talked about the memories that the bear resurfaced for him.
I like watched the first episode and was like, man, this is like real triggering. I had like one instance where the chef kind of like went off on me. I was like working on the line and I like made some mistake. I can't remember him. And whatever mistake I made, the chef was like just pissed off. And he was like, why would you fire that? Why, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so he was yelling at me in front of the whole kitchen staff and the restaurant. And he's like, chef offline. And he just like takes off his apron and slams it on the ground and walks outside.
I mean, this rigid and abusive communication style has come under a lot of scrutiny over the last few years, Bethany. What kinds of changes have happened within the restaurant industry since you've started covering it related to how chefs treat and communicate with their staff?
There's that word again, triggering. And I think that a lot of chefs have realized that these kinds of environments don't produce the happiest people in the kitchen and in the dining room, front of house and back of house, which means staff serving the dining room and the staff in the kitchen, as well as the patrons. You can taste stress, I think, in a lot of circumstances, although certainly throughout time, this brigade system has produced some of the supposedly finest restaurants in the world. But as Holly Smith of Cafe Juanita, which is a lovely high-end restaurant over in Kirkland, told me, a cook's capacity for accepting crazy behavior is lower now to some degree, which is excellent. But she also said, everyone on my team currently in the back of house has a personal story of misconduct, poor treatment, and reprehensible behavior of chefs and owners they worked for previously. And Chef Smith went on to tell me that she has worked very hard to keep lines of communication open with her staff. She has worked very hard on her own issues in order that she can be there for her staff and create an environment where people feel trust and that they can learn and that they can make mistakes.
That's so important because you really can't learn and be creative without that safety net of knowing you can trip up sometimes. Speaking of power dynamics, we have to talk about the rest of the kitchen staff at The Original Beef, which is the restaurant in the show, The Bear. There's Marcus, who's a curious pastry chef, Tina, a skeptical and insecure cold foods cook, and of course, there's this eager sous chef, Sydney, who is played by Ayo Adibiri. And we have a clip of Sydney right here.
Can I just like ask you a question, maybe?
Of course, yeah.
I know who you are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you're the most excellent CDC at the most excellent restaurant in the entire United States of America. So what are you doing here, I guess?
Making sandwiches.
And over the course of this first season of The Bear, Carmi really comes to rely on Sydney, and she in turn pushes back against the toxic aspects of his leadership style. What stood out to you, Bethany, about Sydney's character arc in The Bear?
Sydney's character arc is a particularly interesting one. she's really trying hard. She doesn't want to change back to the old way of doing things, the old brigade system, but she's pressured by Carmi to not only do it, but to be the person in charge. And she wants a more collaborative environment, and she's very clear about that with him. But she also has come from this world where things are top down. And if he wants her to be the head of the brigade, well, then she feels like she absolutely has to do it. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, so cover your ears if you haven't watched all of season one. She eventually does quit. And some of the chefs I talked to said that that was realistic, that there's some amount of stuff these days that people won't eat, so to speak.
Yeah, and she's in that role of, she's seen this go bad before, and she's trying to talk to him about it, but he's not listening. And when she's finally confronted with the fact that she can't change Carmi and his style, you know, she's fed up. Sydney's also a woman of color, and, you know, the show doesn't explicitly address the racism that Sydney probably has experienced during culinary school or in other kitchens. And ultimately, Sydney, you know, has to really hold Carmi accountable in this dynamic. She holds power in her dynamic with Carmi, and she demands to be heard by him. Bethany, you spoke to Melissa Miranda and Wayne Johnson, who are two very accomplished and deeply respected chefs of color here in Seattle. What did they tell you about the lack of support for women or people of color that can exist within kitchens?
Wayne Johnson, who is the executive chef of the wonderful local nonprofit Fair Start, he had many things to say about the show. There were things about it that he said that he loved. He loved chefs cooking great meals for the guests and then going home to mash down a PB&J themselves. He loved individuals working to be better than they were when they showed up. He loved the menu and recipe development and training, which he felt was pretty realistic. But then he also noted what he called the painfulness of the series. And these are his words: sabotage of work, distrust, lack of support for the women in the kitchen, drugs, alcohol abuse, working through the pain, mental and physical, distance from family, putting the restaurant before all else, in the weeds and can't get out. And he described the work that he has done throughout his career, his long storied, deeply respected career, to make changes. And he noted that the show leans on that in some of the later episodes as well. He described it as the changes that kitchen cultures today are striving for. Many, including myself, have been working on changing the dysfunction of the toxic kitchen life for decades. I applaud all the chefs today who are working hard to run highly inclusive and diverse kitchens with pride and a prideful staff. Melissa Miranda of Musang on Beacon Hill said of the show, they definitely did their research. There are certain scenes that are triggering, but she also said, it makes me feel seen. And she said, I really hope that people can feel some empathy and see how expletived up our systems really are.
Okay, so we've covered a lot about the toxic and harmful aspects of the restaurant industry that The Bear explores. But this show is not all about trauma. I mean, Gretchen Bone is a server at Le Pichet and has worked in the restaurant industry for about 25 years. She told us that one of her favorite parts of this program is that it focuses on interpersonal relationships within the restaurant staff, which we don't typically get to see when we just go out to eat.
There's always, you know, hiccups and things like that between any group of people trying to work together. But, I mean, it's just a solid line of communication and respect. You know, making sure that you're clear, that everyone respects everybody, that, you know, you're doing things, everyone's doing things in protocol. I've worked with one person there for at least 10 years, another for at least 5 or 7, I mean, like many, many years and together and very, you know, close quarters. There's only 4 people on the floor at once. So you get to know those people very, very well. We have each other's backs in and out of work. I mean, we've lost parents to get, I mean, you know, all kinds of things. And everyone's there to support each other's lives outside of work as well.
Bethany, what do you think the Bear got right about capturing bonds that are created in the kitchen?
Le Pichet is a very different restaurant than the restaurant depicted on the Bear. And I will say, when you are at Le Pichet down in Pike Place Market, if you observe how the servers are actually serving you, if you take note of it, instead of just letting it happen and be fairly flawless at pretty much all times, you'll see them communicating with a glance with each other. You'll see that they've moved past each other without saying behind you. They've like just got it really nailed down. And I think the Bear shows a real work in progress toward hopefully something like that. It shows a lot of antagonism. It does show the crazy kitchen sense of humor that Chef Wayne Johnson mentioned. They tease each other and they do have a good time and they hang out in the alley and have heart to hearts.
Chef, you all right?
I was behind on cakes. I tried to speed it up and I blew the fuse.
This job's insane. You know, it can go from chill to unchill in a second, but you gotta stay ahead on your work. That's just that.
Well, my first job was McDonald's. You don't get to be creative. You just work with robots and everything's automatic and fast and easy. I won't make a mistake again.
Yeah, you will. But not because you're you, just because happens.
The friendship that develops between Sydney and Marcus is a really lovely part of the show. I think Tina's transformation from, let's just say, gruff to beginning to take real pride in her work is something that the show accelerates for the sake of the show's timeline. But that is also a really lovely, hopeful aspect of the show.
Yeah, there are a couple scenes where Tina kind of seems to turn on a dime that I found a little bit far-fetched, but I agree it's another liberty for the television audience. You know, in some workplaces, if you hear that your job is, quote, like family, that can be a red flag. I mean, that kind of language can sometimes be manipulative and enable exploitation. What do you think about how the closeness in kitchens and restaurants can sometimes lead to enabling conduct that's really negative?
Well, that's a reality that's out there, I think, because kitchens are so high pressure and restaurant work is so high pressure that there's a lot more letting off of steam. That's one thing that, interestingly, the Bear in the first season didn't show at all. It didn't show shots at the end of the shift or going out to a bar together. I think it got mentioned one time. I think Sydney and Carmi said they were going to go get destroyed that night because it had been a very stressful day. But that kind of letting off of steam can also shade into things that have become real problems in the industry with alcohol abuse, drug abuse, as Chef Wayne Johnson again had mentioned. And kitchens, chefs, and restaurants as institutions are working to address that more than they have in the past. As Holly Smith of Cafe Juanita noted, mental health is something that she actively thinks about and works on for herself and for her staff every day, all the time.
You know, when you see a show like The Bear and it highlights all the negative ways that this pressure cooker of a kitchen can really churn through people and bring out the worst and the ways that, you know, abuse can be enacted on folks in the kitchen, should we feel bad sometimes for supporting this? Or how do we responsibly go out to eat and make sure that we're not enabling bad behavior?
That is a really good question. And, you know, you can't go back in the kitchen because someone will stab you. So to know what's going on back there, you know, I think it's really important to read about restaurants as much as you can. Try to learn who the chefs are and what their backgrounds are and how they are conducting themselves. And in my work at the Seattle Times, I try to highlight, obviously, places that are striving to do the right thing and create creative and healthy work environments. It's not easy to figure out what's what, and I'm sure there are many kitchens out there that have bad stuff going on that we're not aware of. But I also know there are many, many wonderful people working really hard in Seattle and making wonderful food under good circumstances. So look for those.
Bethany Jean Clement is a food and restaurant reporter for the Seattle Times. Thanks very much for sharing your perspective and reporting with us, Bethany.
Of course, happy to. Thanks, Libby.
And season one of The Bear is available to watch on Hulu. And if you want to learn more about how local chefs are responding to it, check out Bethany Clement's story on SeattleTimes.com.